For a few moments, there is a word this morning from the a word as it pertains to the gospel lesson that was read, Matthew, the 4th chapter, verses 12 through 13. But I'd also like to add this morning the epistle, a letter written from Paul to the church in Corinth. The first chapter of 1 Corinthians, verses 10 through 18. Hear these words. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be knit together in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been made clear to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you say, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except for Crispus or Gaius, so that no one could say that you were baptized in my name. I did. I baptized also a household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So for a few moments this morning, I'd ask that you would pray with me and pray for me as we meditate on the thought, the theme. Follow me. No room for division. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again I stand before your empty pitcher, before a full fountain. Once again, Father, I ask that you would fill this pitcher. And again, I ask that you would allow this pitcher to overflow. Father, I ask that you would allow this pitcher to overflow so that the message of follow me, no room for division, would find its way out to those you've given an ear to hear. That this message of follow me would find its way out to those you've given a heart to receive. That this message would find its way out to those you've given a will to do. So now, Father, again, I ask that you would touch this voice and these lips. Use them so that your voice would be heard and not mine. That this body you would hide so that only you would be seen and not me. Father, again, we give you praise that you always show up. And this morning we ask that you would continue to show out in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, as I've been going along this year, I have a question. Where do you see the most division in today's climate? Where can we see division in this world? When I begin to look around, I see division everywhere. Political divisions that pit neighbor against neighbor. Racial division and cultural divisions that reopen old wounds. We find that there is an economic division between the haves and the have-nots. There's generational divisions. You've got young against old. Tradition against change. And yes, even divisions within the church. I know it's hard to believe, but there is. There's division in the church over worship styles, theology, leadership, denominations, and yes, personalities. Division is everywhere. know, once I get started, I just can't stop. Who do you see causing these divisions?
Satan.
Satan. He's not everywhere, but he's got people that will do it. If we want to be honest, when we're looking, we can point our fingers to the political parties and the ideologies. We can point our fingers at the media outlets and the social platforms that thrive on outrage. When's the last time you flipped on the news or turned on the social media and saw somebody giving praise for something good? They live on outrage. The shock, the awe factor. We even have special interest groups and movements that demand loyalty. Influential leaders, both secular and religious, right? Who benefit from drawing lines instead of building bridges. Division. There's no room for division. And then there comes the most honest question I can ask you. How does it make you feel? Have we become so desensitized to what is going on that we're just cool, calm, and collected? For many of us, this division feels exhausting. Anybody tired? It feels discouraging. It can feel overwhelming, frustrating, and even heartbreaking. You know, deep down, we understand this is not the life God intended for us. And it's not yet what Christ intended for his church. Division. People against each other on every turn. This brings us directly to Paul's words in 1 Corinthians. Right? The church at Corinth was divided not by doctrine at first, but by allegiance. Paul said, well, I belong to Paul. I belong to Apollos. I belong to Cephas. And yes, I belong to Christ. Division among the church. They were defining their faith by who baptized them or who they followed rather than who saved them. Paul confronts this sharply. He reminds them that Christ is not divided. Then he makes a striking statement. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel. So what we're all called to do is to go out and proclaim the good news. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Paul's position is clear. The power is not in the personality. The power is not in the ritual. But the power is in the cross. Y'all understand that when the church loses sight of the cross, division replaces devotion. When we take our eyes off the prize, we are scattered. So now, when we look at the Matthew text, 12 through 16, Matthew tells us that Jesus began his ministry in Galilee fulfilling the prophecy, right? The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And then y'all realize Christ didn't call people who already had everything figured out. He called the people who were living in darkness, but those who could see the light. I still laugh at my story. I still am in awe at my story, my calling, because I never would have thought I would be here. He didn't call someone that had everything figured out, but someone who saw the light. That's why we say he didn't call those who are equipped. He equips those with whom he calls. For folks that are on the job, it doesn't matter what you know. It's who you know, because if you know someone that knows the job that you're called to do, they're going to teach you everything you need to know about the job. You can't go in thinking you got it all. In verse 17, we find that the light carried a message. Y'all remember what his message was? Remember what he said? It was slightly different than what John said, right? Christ's message said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. My brothers and sisters, repentance is not about shame. It's not to make you feel bad. It's not for somebody to look down upon you or to put you down. Repentance is about realignment. To get back in line with the Master.
Amen.
It's about turning away from the systems of darkness and turning towards the reign of God. When Jesus saw the disciples, those that he was calling, he used two simple words. Follow me. And we find that when he used those words, that they followed him immediately. When y'all hear these stories of him calling the disciples, do you hear of any committee meeting? They get together and discuss how they were going to follow him, why they should follow him, who was going to be the leader. Did they have a great debate? Because you know when we get the call, when someone says we need to go and make disciples for Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, we begin to get in our groups, our cliques, and have a discussion about why we should or why we shouldn't or that I don't have the words or the knowledge to do it. And God has already told us if we just go, he'll give us everything we need.
Amen. Amen.
They followed him when there was no guarantee of comfort or safety. Still looking for the word I am looking for. We're looking for those assurances, those benefits for calling Christ, right? Remember he said, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Remember those words? In order for us to follow Christ, we want to make sure we got a 401k. We need a Medicare or Medicaid. We need insurance in case somebody wants to stone us, right? We're trying to negotiate and bargain with what God is supposed to give us before we get up and leave.
Amen. Amen.
This reminds us that following Christ is not a group decision. I'll go if you go. Come on. Right? Peter went and saw Andrew or Andrew went and saw Peter. They didn't discuss, I'm going to leave if you leave. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, didn't say, look, Dad, we're not going to leave you by yourself. Won't you come on with us? The scripture says that when he called them, they was in the boat mending nets with their father, right? And immediately they stopped what they were doing, left the boat and followed Christ. There was no discussion. Dad had no say in it. We look for somebody to give us the okay to do something that God has called us to do. I'm not going to go if my brother doesn't come. My wife don't follow me or my husband's not in it. I'm not going. My brothers and sisters, if no one else follows Christ, we must follow. If no one else, even if culture goes the other way, when someone turns differently, if society goes in a whole different direction, we must follow Christ. If division feels normal, we still must follow Christ.
Amen.
We've gotten to a point where things have become, we've become complacent with what is happening in life. We have a good debate. We have a great discussion about what we see. But no one is taking the opportunity to take a stand and make a difference. Make a change. Y'all realize that when we stop going with the norm, something powerful happens. When we follow Christ. Matthew tells us that Jesus healed the sick, that he cured diseases, and he set people free, right? That same power is still at work when we allow Christ's teachings to live in and through us. That same power is within you. But you know what? We've allowed division to destroy us. Division is destroying our families. It's destroying our communities. Division is weakening the church's witness to the world. You realize why so many churches are having difficulties growing? It's because people see you. They see how you are on a Sunday morning, dressed in your finest, but then they see you on a Monday afternoon. When you're not in the four walls and somebody has said something to you. Or when you're driving down the highway and somebody cut you off and you decided to make some hand gestures.
In your lane.
Do you all understand we create our own division? Christ's life stands in sharp contrast to today's climate, where society says, pick a side. Jesus said, pick up your cross. Mm. Where the world says, stay divided, or says, divide and conquer, Jesus says, love one another. Mm. Where voices shout for loyalty and to movement, Christ says, follow me.
Mm. Amen.
My brothers and sisters, there is no room for division at the foot of the cross. There's no room for egos, no big eyes or little U's. There's no room for the isms. There's no room for allegiance to anything greater than Christ. If we follow Jesus, and I mean if we truly follow him, some of us follow him with our lips. But there's no movement in the fall. You know, we get, I will, y'all heard that song, I will go if I have to go by myself. Mm-hmm. Have y'all heard that song? song that we sing when we're in the four walls. If my mother won't go and my father won't go, what makes you think I'm going? They know better than I do. Right? If my brother and sister's not going with me, I need somebody to cover my back. The song says, I will go if I have to go by myself. But we don't want to leave. If we follow Jesus, and if we truly follow him, we become people of healing. We become people of unity and light in a divided world. But we have to go, even if we have to go by ourselves. So can I ask you one more question? I'm going to do it anyway, so. Will we follow Christ even when division surrounds us? Will you? Will you follow Christ even with division all around you? Again, this is not a we thing. It's a me thing. Will I follow Christ even when there's division all around me? When my, you know, we're still in this football season, right? And, you know, here in South Carolina, the big division is a house that has Carolina and Clemson. There's a real big division in the world for anybody that's with the Cowboys and everybody else. I'm just saying.
It's anybody but Cowboys.
Even when no one else is willing to do it, you must do it. So I'm going to say, may we choose to follow Christ. May we choose to follow the way of the cross. May we choose unity over division. May we choose to follow Jesus together, hopefully, but prayerfully. I'm going to go even if you don't. It's about following him. There is no division. There's no one else, nothing else outside of Christ and the cross.